Hello, and welcome to another podcast from La Civiltà Cattolica English Edition. Laudato Si, or Praise Be to You, is the groundbreaking encyclical of Pope Francis that addresses the ecological crisis facing the world in the 21st century. It has put the Pope and the Catholic Church's tradition of social teachings at the centre of the international debate on climate change. Today, Michael Kelly interviews his old friend and fellow Jesuit, Pedro Walpole. Pedro Walpole is an Irishman who came to the Philippines as a forester, joined the Jesuits, working on environmental programs and issues in the Philippines, elsewhere in Asia, and across the world since the 1980s.
Welcoming Pedro Walpole, who's in Mindanao, who has been absorbed in matters to do with the environment for a very long time, like decades. And he and I first met in the work that he was doing in Mindanao in the 1980s. So it's a long while ago that Pedro has developed his qualifications and passions to see an enhancement of the environment. And then along comes a Pope who sees the preservation of the environment and the enhancement of the environment as integrally mixed with our understanding of a provident God who willed our world into existence and its fostering and nurturing. So let's begin by introducing the encyclical Laudato Si and what are the key features of that most relevant to the world as we know it now. Over to you, Pedro.
Thank you. For me, what is most beautiful about Laudato Si is it is a conversation of care. It's humble, it's open, it includes everyone. It is not a theological discourse. It's a human, grounded discourse on the crises we face in the world. And to see these as connected. Now, the relevance of Laudato Si again comes forward today with COVID, because the social and the ecological are seen as one as the same crisis, and that we have to go through this together. So COVID emphasizes all of the things that are being said in Laudato Si, that we have to look after our neighbor. We have to respond to the crisis in India, because if we don't, it'll spread somewhere else. And it's not about me first. So the relevance of we start with small actions and they do count and they do connect. This is a humble process. And at times, Laudato Si, in its language, confronts the wrongs in the world and the call for the common good at the political and at the economic level. We are talking here of one household. That's the understanding of ecology and economy. The problem is that the economy has overtaken the ecology. And Laudato Si asks us, in fairness, in response to humanity, to reconsider how we are extracting from the world, how we're polluting the world, and that there is a care that's needed, and we need to celebrate the splendor, the joy of creation.
Okay, well, there's a hell of a lot there that we could go on, any of the particular themes that you propose there. What do you think are the key ones relevant to our present state of evolution? The world is going through an explosive set of challenges about how we live on this planet, how we interact with each other, and what's to become of us because of a mismanaged medical urgency. What do you think Laudato Si has to say about the way forward that we should be looking to follow right now?
It has to be one of compassion. It has to be one of inclusion. And the challenges are right before us in the Commission of Parties, the climate change discussions in November, for which countries are building up to respond to. So across the world, we have to give deference to the South, to countries that are poorer and are suffering climate change today. What's happening in the Pacific Ocean? Nobody pays attention there, but the drowning of islands with sea rise is ongoing. Extraction from the ocean bed of minerals, its destruction of the seabed. The ocean is warming, and this is very dangerous globally. We're seeing an increase in disaster events across the world that are a little bit more complex than some politicians consider. Yeah, sometimes there's a vast cooling, sometimes there's a heating, but we are heating. And again, we have the call of biodiversity loss. Jane Goodall had a very good exchange on this the other day.
Who's Jane?
Jane Goodall is the lady who studied chimpanzees for much of her life and has explained the humility by which we must engage and the actions that we must take.
What was the exchange in the Vatican about?
The exchange was with Cardinal Turkson as head of the Dicastery.
Words like dicasteries are internal words in the Vatican. What office is he the secretary of?
Human development.
Okay. And what did he want her to comment on?
She was commenting on the relevance of Laudato Si and how this imbibes everything that she also is dealing with. So it was a coming together of one of the key people globally with her deep knowledge of biodiversity and care for creation and the church document.
Okay. Now, if you were asked what are the three key things to attend to that Laudato Si nominates as the key issues for the preservation of the future of the environment, what would they be and how do we go about them?
I think one thing to remember is that Laudato Si was launched before COP21. It was originally designed to come out later in the year. So it influenced these climate change discussions that came up with the Paris Agreement. It doesn't explicitate on them, but it's very clear that it changed that negotiation. That was 5 years ago. And we must move through with the Paris Agreement this year, which is the rule book for implementation. So there's quite a faith lobby in the Commission of Parties, this climate change negotiation. There are a couple of preceding meetings to this. One is the Food Security Summit. And that's a very fundamental one later this year, because it does appear that corporate agribusiness has taken over the solution side of this. And we are not paying enough attention to nature-based solutions. And these are well documented. 80% of our food is produced by small farmers, and yet they're losing out on the land and they're suffering all of the risks and vulnerabilities because they don't have insurance against weather, for example. So this summit about the food security of the world, because we're looking at hunger and famine again in several regions of Africa. So this is very important. The biodiversity conference, which is supposed to be held in China this year, again, plays into these negotiations. We have sleepwalked since the Paris Agreement. We have ignored the elephant in the room. And finally, the elephant has turned around and the US is engaging again fully in the process. So if you like, President Biden held a mini COP. He had four countries engage with him to try to rack up the nationally determined commitments. We're also driving for a mobilization of funds to finance climate change so that everyone can meet their goals by 2030, by 2050. So this collaboration increasingly has a faith dimension, which balances out the superiority of one over another. And this is very important. You know, many of the organizations are not in the negotiations themselves because they are not countries. But these people that gathered around COP21 and influenced it are gathering in the light of Laudato Si around COP26. COP26 is not the end, but it is certainly a milestone in it. I attended COP1 in Rio de Janeiro decades ago. There were a few bishops, religious, lay groups who were deeply concerned about indigenous people, water, biodiversity, the climate. Now there's a huge buy-in and support. We felt very isolated in that first meeting. Now we see the purpose and the value of being involved in 1992. So we need to focus this year particularly on these events of global policy decisions, and we need to continue to reach out and find where the poor are and support them.
One of the things that happens when we use the English language is we have pronouns that refer to various groups of people. And we, who is the we you are talking about?
The we, I think there I'm talking about are people who see the value of Laudato Si, the people who join social networks and connect with these processes of global policy.
Okay. Now, if we, that group of we, is to connect and change things, how are they going to do that?
There is a lot of discussion, obviously, through social media at this stage. That's been very helpful to form a global understanding. So there are multiple networks. There is a global Catholic climate movement that is quite extensive in its communications, organizing of events, documentations and papers. There are dozens of these. There's a small Jesuit network of eco-Jesuit across the six conferences of the Jesuits, trying to get universities, parishes, social institutions involved. The Franciscans have a great network. The Columbans have a great network. And we connect with many also of the scientific and other social institutions globally.
Okay, and what are they actually seeking to do mostly? What are the few things that they actually name as their goals and objects?
One is the finalization of the Paris Agreement, COP21, the rule book, because it's the basis for implementation. All of these groups are lobbying their own governments where possible and where they can engage in the process of increasing their commitment to reduce the carbon output of the country earlier. So ratcheting up those commitments. These different groups and networks and movements are seeking accountability from corporations for what their carbon contribution is.
And a lot of this is coming, a lot of this is coming together at the end of this year, is it?
November.
Yeah, okay.
So much more has to be done ahead of time. It's no longer just lobbying the COP meeting. It's all of the processes of maybe 17 meetings we've identified beforehand that are important.
What are the things you are giving your time to at the moment? What are the key things there?
I'm giving attention to the nature-based solutions because I really feel in the Food Security Summit, they are not adequately addressed at all. Corporations are giving solutions that are not genuinely nature-based and respectful of the people on the land. So that's one. Number two, we are struggling to get the voice of indigenous peoples heard directly. We don't want to speak for Indigenous people. We want their voice heard. So I had one of the community youth here speak to the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Peoples the other day. That was very important because Indigenous peoples are being manipulated by corporations over mining and agriculture. They're being vanquished off of the land. Land grabbing is still a common incidence throughout the world by corporations. So it's a human rights issue. We still need support in terms of human rights abuses to address them. One closer to home is because of the church in Asia Pacific. There is really a concern about the oceans. These are small voices from bishops' conferences in Oceania. Mm-hmm. But they need to be helped because sea level rise, people are losing their homes. The typhoons are of greater impact and the droughts are affecting people. So this cannot wait. We need the voice of the ocean. These are key elements.
I think there's a lot in what you've had to say that we need to just absorb. And it may have gone as far as we need to go because there's a lot of information there and a lot of impulse and reach in what you're saying. Is there anything in particular that you would like to emphasise in conclusion so that you give us some time to absorb what you're saying now?
What is very important for us, not just to understand, but experience, is again how creation gives us life. We may live in an urban situation and we may not realise how much we draw off of the land and the fact that air is not free today. So one of the basics that we are related to creation and creator. And I think only with that strength are we humble enough to listen to the cry, the problems that are happening throughout the world of people and land, of rivers and of oceans. We have to include them not only in our daily prayer, but in our actions of the food we choose to buy. And we get involved and really look at the corporate world. We know the corporate world has been raiding profits, and what little security farmers have, they are losing it to the corporate pricing scheme. Survival as a farmer today is very hard, and we need the farmers every day. And we need our water supply every day. So we have to give back more. And where we can, as Laudato Si says, we're not all politically connected, but where we can, we need to feed that message back in every election, in every policy discussion, in every effort to come together. So we need trust in the world, perhaps the trust and the youth to give us hope. The youth are the primary movement forward today with Laudato Si.
The main carriers, that's true. All right, yeah. Pedro, we might leave it at that. Thank you very much for your insight and your encouragement, and enjoy the tropics.
Subscriptions to the English edition of La Civiltà Cattolica range in price from $14.95 to $200. For short-term and annual subscriptions, for individuals and for groups. For further information, go to laciviltacattolica.com, subscribe. LaCivilta.com/subscribe.